This evening, we're going to change course a little bit. We're going to go over, and I'm going to teach on an area of keys to the move of God. And, it's really important to understand the move of God, what's going on, the time we're in, is cooperating with God. And if we don't know exactly what He's doing, or, you know, what's His motive, what's His plan and purpose for? We can look at Scripture and it talks about general things, but if you really are a studier of the Bible from Revelation, from Genesis to Revelation, you find this out, and as you look through it, God wasn't doing the same thing all the time. There's certain things that God was trying to do. There's one thing that God has been working at where really people don't realize how much God has been trying to deal with the church. The Bible tells us, judgment starts in the house of God. And many people, talk about, they deal with the thing of dealing with judgment. And they will get over the things that about the world and all this stuff. No, judgment starts, and if God's in the judgment mode, first He's going to deal with the church. And one of the things is God is today is dealing with the church. Lots of people don't recognize that what God is doing. Also, if we deal with God working in you as an individual, what does He work in you? What's your place where you're supposed to be doing? Many people, it's like I learned years ago listening to numbers of different ministers who had been in ministry for many years. One of the things they talk about is a lot of Christians are jack of all trades and masters of none. That they never really, they don't know their place, and they don't know what they're supposed to do. And I was always glad that I learned the fact is listening to people is, what you're gifted at and what you're not gifted at is learning to operate there. Is like I found out and learned over time, my gift in teaching and that stuff. I found that people, and even sometimes ministers and everything, they want you to be something else other than what you are. They measure against themselves of what God is dealing in them, and everybody else is supposed to do that. It's not the way it works. And finding out what you're supposed to do. I mean, if we take the apostles in the beginning, they understood when they started off the church what they were supposed to do. And so they said, hold it, we don't wait on tables. Our job is not to take care of the people out here and their natural needs. Now today, that's ministry. And that's ministers. But you know what? That's not their job. Their job is to be in the Word and in prayer. But you know what? Everybody wants the ministers to do the work of the ministry. But, Ephesians tells us that the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher was put in the church so the people in the church do the work of the ministry. So is understanding, and so finding your place and finding your spot of what you're supposed to do is really important. Where do you fit? Because that's going to have is how God's going to use you and what's going to go on. There's a move of God, and that doesn't mean He can't change what you do. There was a lot of things when I started off in my growth as a Christian. I was involved in numbers of different things. There's areas that you put in that you learn a lot of general things. And you work at and you do. But I find as I went on, God started more specializing me in things and dealing with areas. And especially, it came to ground. I wasn't really from the standpoint, I knew I had a calling to the ministry. But I was not sent to the ministry till in May of 1989. So in May of 89, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, and He told me when I was going to leave Rhema, He said, I'm going to put you in the ministry I called you to. See, I had a calling the whole time. But He said, I'm going to put you in the ministry. But He, up to that time, hadn't told exactly what the ministry was, what it was going to do. He hadn't told me exactly. I knew I had anointing to teach. But see, because I had anointing to teach, that doesn't mean... Kenneth Hagin, the Lord told him that many of his people, his ministers, never enter into the first phase of the ministry He called them to. He said they live and die and never enter into the first the things that He's called them to. And because one of the things, we're taught generally, and people keep listening just to people, and you're calling, you can't do that. I can't tell you what exactly God wants you to do specific. There's things that generally we all know we need to do as Christians, but you know, you got to know what works in you and what don't. God may try be trying to work things in you, and you're ignoring it. You can easily do that, you know. I will tell you one. God has tried, will try to work in you different supernatural gifts. And do you actually yield to them? Do you actually ever operate in them? You know, the every part of the body concerning the gifts of the Spirit that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12 chapter, they're for the whole body. They're not for preachers. Yes. For the whole body. Yet, the majority of Spirit-filled Christians never will operate in them. Because they don't, you know, there's things you have to learn to yield to. This is one of the things, is learning to be led by the Spirit, because these are spiritual gifts, and you have to understand what God is doing and what He wants to do, and you to yield to them. And most of the time, I will just tell you this. There, you know, I never learned gifts of the Spirit because some great anointing came on me and I was moved to do something. People do that. Well, God did it. 99% of the time, I just get a sense to do something inside. You can easily bypass it. You can just simply bypass it. Most of the time during a church service, God does something. You know, it'll come up in me concerning things, whether I speak in tongues and interpret, whether I prophesy or something. I'll just get a little unction in my spirit to move in that direction. And you know, this is what comes. Well, what am I supposed to say? Well, you know, it'll come to me to speak out in tongues, and I do that. I don't know what the interpretation is going to be when I step out and do that. I don't know that when I do that. Nothing comes to me till after I start doing it. Nothing comes. And see, these are things that we have to learn in being led by the Spirit. And this is one of the things, is doing these things is hooking up with Him. These are basics, but the church really doesn't follow basics. Our basics is the idea is be just a good person, which is good. You know, do this, be nice. It's much. We're called to a supernatural walk.
That's right.
Amen.
And if we're not supernatural, then there is something wrong with our Christianity. There should be some supernatural to this thing. There should be things that, you know, outside the ordinary, outside of my own mental capacity. I am so glad that God operates outside my mental capacity. You know, sometimes I think of how I saw, they go, dear God, you know. Even as much as you learn and you much as study, the more and more, you know, I was doing this, I was out running this morning, and it just really rose up in me, out without me you can do nothing. And I thought, that is so true. You can't live the Christian life without Him. Yet most Christians will try hard, and they think they're doing it, they're trying to be a good person, what they're trying to do, it requires God to do in them. And so they never really rest. They never really have a confidence about God. I'm always trying to keep God happy and trying to stay good and trying to do this and I want to do that and I want to. It's like, man, that ain't, you can't live like that. That's a hard way to live. That's a tough way to do it. You know, you got to get over in the area and have a confidence toward God in you. That this God working in you, I'm not working against Him. And I expect Him to work in me and do things because it's just Ed. It's like, and it's His working. And so He's living that out. And one of the things that we were going to look at in this is dealing with the areas, is knowing the time of visitation. We're going to use Israel as an example, because when Jesus the Messiah came, and we're going to look at Luke 19, because this is one thing. Today, and like I've seen, some of the time I come into the church, they talk about Jesus Christ coming, getting ready for Him to come back. Well, Jesus Christ is soon coming. Well, if we look from the church standpoint, the beginning of the church, Book of Acts, on Apostle Paul's writings, Peter, James, John talked about it. They all talk like Jesus was coming back shortly. Mm-hmm. You need to understand, we entered the end times when Jesus was raised from the dead. According to the mind of God, we are in the last 2 days. And those 2 days were 1,000 years. We entered the end times. We're already in it. Number one, we see these things. Think about it. People talk today about, and really, you can logically see the spirit of Antichrist. If you can't, I don't know what Bible you've been reading. I don't. The spirit of Antichrist is very predominant today, is running. But John wrote about the spirit of Antichrist in his day. See, the spirit of Antichrist has been in operation all the time along, and we can see it. It manifests itself greater in different periods of time. You know, it's, people don't realize, I mean, the Third Reich was about the thousand-year Reich. That's what it was about. Hitler was a manifestation of the Antichrist. That's what he was. He wasn't the Antichrist, but the Antichrist spirit operated in him and in Germany very powerfully, doing what they did. See, we need, all through history, there's always been people who fitted in the category, and this is where people got, you know, when Obama came along and people started saying, he's the Antichrist, he's the Antichrist. He did operate on that spirit, but he's not the Antichrist. And there's one thing, as I will just tell you this, anybody that understands the spirit walk in it, when the actual Antichrist manifests himself, they'd know who he was. You know, we aren't guessing this thing. We aren't trying to do this thing. And this is what the church, all through the years has operated in things, and people act like, you know, well, we're in a very special time. No, we're in a certain time right now that is called the church age.
Yes.
And what does the church do in the church age? This is what we have to find out. Number one, we as the church must do our part. In other words, in this is the important part. There's certain things about the church that never change in time. It never changes because we're the church. And so when we understand that, the time and period we're in, it's like, you know, we talked about the end times, and I've said this, and I'll say it again and again. If people had any accuracy about end times, we wouldn't be here today. Because people have said and said and said. There's one of the things about it is, one of the major things the Bible said is, you see the day approaching. Well, they talked about it in their day. That's where that saying came from. John talked about seeing the day approaching. So, in other words, he was telling people at that time. In other words, there was an expectation that Jesus Christ is going to return. God doesn't run on a clock like we do. God lives in the realm of no time. There isn't time. God told Abraham that in 400 years, his people were going to be in Egypt, and they're going to be there 400 years, and they were coming out. He said, 400 years. Now, we talk about, say, God says 400 years. They were actually there 435 years. See, we're past the 2,000-year mark. We're past that. But it doesn't mean... See, that's I'll never forget when 2000 came along, and all these people, it just started, and I said... And, you know, it started on, and I would have people come to me and ask me about it, and I'd say, ain't nothing happened. I had people ask, well, how would you know? This guy says this, and so. See, they have these men. Oh, this guy said this. I said, you know how I know? God never does anything in this earth without telling it about it.
Amen.
And he don't. See, maybe you don't believe that about yourself, but I'll tell you what, Ed knows.
Amen.
Because he tells me, why? Because I expect him to tell me. I'm one of his kids. He's going to talk to Ed. Maybe you don't take time to listen to him, but he's talking.
Amen.
There's one thing God doesn't do, nothing in the earth. It's, you know, even with the prophets in the earth, the days of prophets, he said he does nothing in the earth without telling his prophets. How do you think he does it today with his children? Do you think it's something less? Anything, I have never had anything that goes on, whether it's my personal life or it would be nationally, anything that affects me that God won't talk to me about it before it happens. Tell me. Things are going on. Always does. He'll always show you things. One of the things, God responds to you by faith. If you have no faith for that, don't be surprised it doesn't happen. You see, I say these things that people think it's just being a big head. No, these are my confessions of my faith.
Amen.
Because I say these things is because I believe these things, and therefore these things manifest. This pleases God.
Amen.
And see, you want to please God? You know, he doesn't hide things from his children. How can we be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and we don't know?
Amen.
Well, what is it? You sit right beside the throne of God and you don't know?
Amen.
See, the church world is very ignorant because of what we have chose to be ignorant by our beliefs. We talk about believing the word, But that's not true. We still see God and we're these peons way out over here somewhere. You know, I just believe Jesus, you know, died for Ed and you guys got lucky. He just put you in on it too, you know. Well, it's like people today, you know, they said, Rod, they doesn't take it personally. My salvation is personal.
Amen.
God saw me in Christ Jesus, man.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And he's always treated me like he saw me. And you know what? He'll do the same for you. He will treat you in the exact same manner if you act like that.
Amen. Amen. Preach.
When he's your, people say, oh, you need a Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And most people say that, I feel like saying, well, when's that going to happen to you? Mm-hmm. It will revolutionize your life when he's personal.
Amen.
You know, he died for Ed. I can't say for sure about you, but I know and am witness that he died for Ed.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. And see, you can stop saying the same thing. You have the witness of the Spirit in you.
Amen.
And see, talk these things. You know, somebody talk to me and say, you believe the things I talk to myself about? People say, he's crazy. He talks these. Yeah, well, let the crazy man alone. He's doing great. He's staying crazy.
Amen.
Because I know this about the people think people are crazy talking to themselves. They don't talk to themselves, but they get around everybody else and talk the wrong things. And their lives show it.
Amen. Let's say that again.
Amen. That's right.
I'm guaranteed you're your own best cheerleader.
Yeah.
You better learn how to, we really do, from the time we get born again, confessing Jesus as Lord, if we really believe that, we're really talking ourselves into the faith of what we're walking in. Mm-hmm. See, no matter how somebody preaches to you, it's on their mouth, but if it ain't on your mouth.
Amen.
This is what we do. We put it onto our mouth. For what they say and say, man, that's really good. I'm doing that. See, I've listened to other ministers say things all the time, and I started picking up what they say. And they said to me, you're just saying what they say. You're exactly right. It's the right thing. Yeah, puts me over. So you're copying. Well, he got it from the Bible. So he copied. Why can't I? We're all just copying God, you know. So we're doing. We're copying him. And, you know, Jesus, you know, walked right talking about being the Son of God. He was the Son of God. Made a whole lot of people mad. Don't like that. You know, Ed's the Son of God.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm God's Son.
Amen.
Want to make people mad? You can get Christians mad as crazy talking like this. Who does he think he is?
Yep, that's right. Who does he think?
Oh, and, you know, the personal relationship people get mad at you first. If you talk like you have one. You talk like you have a personal relationship and people get upset.
Amen.
Well, see, it's one of the things, though. I learned to copy people that I looked at and I saw they had different. They were different than other people. They had, the way they taught, what they did, their beliefs were different than other people. They didn't say, yeah, I believe the word. They talked it. They talked like it was true. It was real concerning them.
Amen.
And you know what? I saw more and more about those people. They became more like the Word was. They started becoming what everybody else wants to be, but ain't going to get there unless they do what those people did.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so you want to do that. So knowing the time, see, one of the things is getting over and understanding things. We can't do that without knowing God. You can't do that. In Luke, the 19th chapter, you know, the Luke 19, this is when Jesus and his triumphant entrance, and people really miss, like, we know that this was a prophetic thing. The prophet talked about him, you know, the king was going to come in on a donkey. And so, and then Jesus, this event actually takes place. But what Jesus had to say, people don't talk about much of the thing from Luke 19. But verse 41, he says, now as he drew near, so he's drawing near Jerusalem, he said he saw the city and he wept over it. He said, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day. Now what did he say to this people? These are God's covenant people. And he said, this is your day. Gee, is it? You know what? This is our day. Everybody's waiting for the day. And you know what? 10 years from now, if Jesus doesn't retire, they'll still be waiting for their day. We're already in our day. They were in. If you'd have known your day, the thing that makes for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. That's a sad thing, isn't it? He said, for days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. See, the Messiah was walking among them. Now, this is the interesting part. You study the scriptures, you even study the history of the time. They believed that they were in the day the Messiah was supposed to show up. See, to them, they knew from Daniel, and Daniel's talking, they understood about what the Roman Empire was. The Roman Empire was a type of the Antichrist Empire. The Messiah was going to come, that their deliverance was going to come during that period. So God sends the Messiah, and you know what? They don't know it. Yet they're looking for him. How can this be? We're looking. Here's people. You know, we know this from a fact. There's going to be loads of people looking for the return of Jesus Christ, and when he comes, they're not ready. We have this with Israel. Israel in themselves, we have concerning the 10 virgins, which deals with Israel when Jesus Christ's second coming comes, when he steps foot on the earth. And what happens? His people again, many of them are not ready for the Messiah coming. The bridegrooms come and they don't have their lamp lit. Yet, the Messiah, who is Lord over heaven and earth, has put all, he put 12,000 preachers on the street to Israel. Out of the book of Revelation, we have it, all these ones put out there. But see, there's people not listening to them. See, just because you're in a time of the move of God, you may have your own preconceived idea about what God's doing, about what you think. You may follow after things. I've learned not to follow after people have said they've lived and died, and what they have taught isn't so. So I have to stop and say, God, I need to understand what's going on. So I have to set aside what everybody else said. See, people need to hear for themselves. You need to come to the things.
Yeah.
You know, preachers can preach the truth, but you need to hear it too from God.
Amen.
Do you ever sit down and ask God about things you're being asked? Is this really the truth? Is it? Do you ever really seek God on it? Or just, well, you know, he said, you know. No, you got to treat truth is sought.
Mm-hmm.
Now we know this of this event. 70 AD, this actually took place. So we need to understand this. God sent the Messiah. 70 AD was not the will of God. Majority of what happens in the earth is not the will of God. Majority of what happens to Christians is not the will of God. Just because it happens, it don't make it the will of God. God is not in control. Was God in control of Israel? No. God sent the Messiah and he wanted them to know. Jesus wept because they didn't know. And now what's going to happen to them? What they followed and believed was going to come on them. See, they didn't know the Messiah. They didn't know. Messiah is what God's Messiah. Hey, look at the ones, look at the disciples, these guys out here. Now, people always think disciples 12. We know there was, you know, on the day of Pentecost, there's at least 120 of those disciples were together down there. But Jesus had large numbers of people who followed after him. They knew that they believed he was the Messiah and followed after him. Mm-hmm. But they were really a minority. How did they get to know? Well, we know this. Many of the followers of the Messiah were followers of John the Baptist. See, God sent somebody along. God sent somebody, and John's out there telling him, okay, it's time to get ready for the Messiah. It's time to get ready for him. We're going to get ready. Messiah's coming. You know, he even said that he's the guy, he's the fulfillment of the prophecy of the one crying in the wilderness. I'm the guy. Make ready. Oh, you know, wait for the Lord. Make ready. So the message is going out, but it's not being believed. Now there's people going along with it. They're going over down to John, but we find out most of this because of the fear of the scribes and the Pharisees. People won't follow after it. See, I like my place and my things because if I join up in this group that's following Messiah, then I'm going to lose my place in the community. People might not like me anymore. And this is why people go out. People many times look for churches. They look for places where they can belong physically. It has nothing to do spiritually.
Right.
Places
yeah.
I can fit into and I feel good about it. People like me the way that I am. Nobody expects me to change. When I know I need to change, I'm not going to because I'm just going to flow with the crowd because I don't want things to go wrong or anybody think I'm weird. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to do that. To me it's very foreign because I remember hearing, I always wonder about this, but I remember as a young Christian and Kenneth Hagin said, I never understood a person got baptized in the Holy Ghost and went back to the dead church that they were in. But most people did. Why? Comfort. They're comfortable there. See, now I got something and I can go back to them and I can, and you don't realize they end up being just like they were before.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You go hang out with the crowd and you're going to be like the crowd.
That's right.
Yeah. Jesus preached to the crowd. I'll preach to and teach the crowd, but I ain't hanging out with the crowd. Mm-hmm. Randall Greer was smart when he said, you look at the direction the crowd's going in the church. And he said, by looking at where 80% of the church is headed, he said, to go in the opposite direction, by default, you'll be following God. There's a lot of truth in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? The crowd's never right.
Amen.
The crowd might have certain things that are right in them, but they're usually not on target. The crowd's not.
Mm-hmm.
The Church of Jesus Christ is a minority.
Amen.
It's not a majority. It's a minority. Just like in Jesus' day, the minority were his disciples, the people that followed after him. There was a minority. It wasn't a majority. Majority, hey, I want the healing of God. I want the stuff that really works. It's really nice. But, you're talking these parables. They don't make sense. We'll come back for the healing service, but we'll... we ain't staying around for the teaching. Why? We ain't changing.
Amen.
Yes.
Say that again.
We ain't changing. Yeah. 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 We ain't changing. No. If you're staying around the teaching, you want to change it. What we are. No. That's easy. I just want, I don't mind to go out here and you feed us, 12, 10,000. Oh, well, that was cool. We'll do that again. But do you have to spend so much time teaching? Do you really need to do all that? Say, well, I don't know. But see, we need to understand this. So the time of your visitation, and this is why we as a church, is one of the things that I have seen, and really, if you want to follow patterns, the church, if we look at the apostles and their writings and people they taught in their days, there was things that they followed, and they were believing for the return of Jesus Christ. They were looking for that day. They wanted that to happen. But they just kept following the same thing. They didn't change certain things that they did. See, there's things you've got to walk in as a Christian, and the whole thing of it is, whether that day comes, it's about like finishing the race. The church came along, and I started to watch this happen as looking for the return of Jesus. The church stopped. Jesus is coming, and the church didn't keep moving.
Amen.
No, we just keep moving along, and we keep moving and following the Word of God and what the Word of God says.
Amen.
But we need to understand it, how important that it is following these things. And if we don't do that, there's a lot of things God won't reveal. Number one, and it isn't because He doesn't want to, He can't. We need to understand this. I believe that God has been trying to give a lot more revelation than He's been able to, because people reject it by their thoughts. It doesn't fit in line with my thinking. See, what I did is I turned around the things that people talking about the end times. I got to a point, I just shut it off with it. Because I started looking. All these people are mimicking what other people said that has never happened or come to pass. This was going to take place. That was going to take place. This was going to happen. And a lot of it was physical talk about things. And we're in an end time. There's things we can see about it. One of the things that the scripture says this about, those John wrote and said this, those who have this hope purify themselves. So I know this is a truth. Most people do not believe he's really coming back, because if they did, they're doing nothing about purifying themselves. Amen. See, this is the reason God judging the church. One of the things you need to be doing is focusing on your area to purify yourself, to make sure you're getting in line with God, walking in line. This is not some kind of religious purification. You know, we got to get some purification in our thoughts about things so God can reveal stuff to us, instead of walking in man's thinking, of people said in the past, religious thinking about stuff, getting ourselves thinking right about stuff. Because how are you going to purify yourself? It's number one, getting in our ideas and our thoughts about things, of what's right and wrong. Good and evil. I will just say this today. Many people consider themselves very good Christians, and they're doing evil because the church world allows it today, and it's been many things have been acceptable that are not acceptable to God. I'm not talking about some great perverted thing doing. No. But there's many things that are wrong in the church, and there's many things wrong in people's lives, and people want to, I can't get healed, I can't get, because there's things wrong. Our thinking isn't in line. Faith isn't having some kind of idea what the Word says.
Amen.
Faith is a revelation to know exactly what it says and what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
Faith is when the will of God is known. It is not me having an idea about the will of God or what I think about it. It's when I come to the point, God's Word says this, therefore I walk in this, and God will do that. So I can have confidence that will be done. So there's things, see, that we have to know, and so it's really important, because to receive further revelation, you have to walk in light.
Amen.
And many times, people are too content with what they think they know. Now, I know what I'm talking about. I'm a human in this earth. So you can't say, well, you don't know me. Yeah, I do. You're another human being. I know how we do. You know, we arrive at certain places and we all, I got it now.
Mm-hmm.
But here's one thing you have to do. Stay very close to the Word, because the Word is the mirror you look in.
Amen.
I can tell you this. People who don't walk right and do right, they can tell me they read the Bible every day. Well, it must be just a religious thing, because my Bible, when I look at it, it's a mirror to me. And it's not a mirror to what everybody else looks like. It's a mirror to what Ed looks like.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And I see myself in the Word. And it's good. It is good. You know, how many, you get up in the morning, how many of you get ready and you never look in the mirror when you get ready? Why do you look in a mirror? Because you want to look some kind of presentable. Well, there's one thing. If you ain't looking in the Word of God, you're not presentable to Him.
Amen. Say that again.
You know, you ladies, do you put on your makeup, not looking in the mirror? Do you do the thing? You're doing your eyeshadow? I'm just going to do the... You know? Huh? Do you do that? I mean, I look in the mirror to shave. I want to make sure my nose is still there when I leave. I like my ears right where they are, you know, that kind of thing. But yet we do, we look. And this is the thing of it. The beauty for us is looking into the Word.
Amen. Amen.
That's where our spiritual beauty lies. It's in there. It's in looking at the Word. That mirrors, and we know how to fix ourselves. Oh, man, this needs some makeup on. This needs fixed. Boy, wow, Ed, you need spiritually shaved today. You know, you look at things and say, yeah. And it's for making us look good,
mm-hmm,
in the presence of God. And people who don't get it, don't do it, I'm going to tell you what. You might look good to people, but you remember, God sees you all the time.
Amen.
He sees us. So this is what we're doing. And this is why doing the natural things that we're supposed to do leaves us open to understand the move of God and what's going on and what is God doing. What's God doing? And picking that up, because there's things that you can learn if you go along and start these things. You can learn to pick up the spirit that's operating in a meeting to know what God wants to do. This is one of the great problems in the Church of America today. The average person sitting in the pew doesn't know what God wants to do, and so he can't cooperate with what God wants to do. Doesn't know what it is. He's just coming to church, see what's going on, see what's going to happen. He says, no. Now, I learned with Kenneth Hagin. I learned him. I learned through his meetings, going to his meetings. Learned to follow the Spirit, what he was doing. I could tell you when certain things were going to happen. I knew when they were going to happen. I knew certain things were going to go on. You start picking up the spirit of the meeting. You learn to judge the things of the meeting. See, you need to... Look, how can you walk by faith when you don't know what God's doing? See, many people are over here doing something. They're standing on the word as sort of something. God's wanting to move them into something to give them what they want. But they're set on this to just head in this direction. Oh, it's the word. But ain't God doing that now. He wants to get you over here. He's going to give it to you here. No, but I want it over there. You have to know that. You know, there's all kind of ways you can get healed in the Bible. What's God talk to you about? Did God send you to so-and-so's meeting to be prayed for? Did he? Maybe he didn't. You know, I found out when I started off, God wouldn't send me to meetings to get prayed for. He said, you're going to learn to stand. So see, I learned, I heard it. He said, you know why he did? So I could teach people faith of how to do that. You see, you need to understand that. We bypass things and God can't use us for things. Not good.
That's right.
Not good. I know, I bypass things, but you know what? I found this out. You will have to keep heading back. God will keep trying to head you back to that school of learning. And you won't... That's some of my people never grow up because he's always trying to take them back to what he was trying to teach them that they won't listen to so he can take them on.
Mm-hmm.
That's the place they don't want to go. You know, I want to do this. You see, God would have... I walked along. I found this. There's places, you know, I bypassed along the way, but I ended up going back. I had to go back over here to this. I got to go back over here to this. Mm-hmm. You know, I got to get back over this class again, you know. I like that one over there. I really enjoy that class over there. I want to go over to that there money in my pocket class. And not over this humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. I'm not going to be going to that one because that one's not near as good. Is money in Ed's pocket class. But you know what I found out? When I humbled himself, I didn't have to go to get money in my pocket. I got money in my pocket.
Amen.
Humbling myself.
Amen. Yeah. Preach.
You'll get more money that way than you will going to the money class.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, you will. It works. In the humble class, God, you know, Jesus gets to be Lord. And you find out that a lot of blessing comes just because you let him be Lord. That there's much a blessing that can come naturally to you. Many things that you don't ask for, ever say anything about, that'll come to you just because you walk right before him and treat him like you should. The Holy Ghost loves it when you treat Jesus like he is Lord. When we treat him like that, the Holy Ghost, you can't make him happy. He's happy when we treat Jesus right. And so, you know, we want to go into those areas. So about ourselves and understand that. You know, there's things that we're going to go through that God wants to teach us. There's things we may bypass. It's one of the things everybody has missed it at times of things God was trying to lead them into and has missed it. You know, when you see what to do, then just, you know, you go do it. You know, he never threw me under the bus for being dumb, you know. Because I'd have got thrown under the bus immediately and that would have been it. But he didn't do that. He didn't throw me on the bus. One of the things that amazes me the one of the most about our Lord is his patience.
Amen.
You know, I'll just tell you. Like I remember Kenneth Hagin said, he said, you're learning to walk in patience. He said, God is so patient. He said, I'm an impatient person. He said, I'm just, and you know, whether you like it or not, that's generally we are. We're impatient about things. And you have to learn that about yourself. I find that many people thought they were patient are really impatient people. They don't see themselves that way. But they are. You know, it's about ourselves. You know, it's easy to get that way. You'll find out when you really need something and it ain't working out for you. You find out quick how you approach God and how you look at Him. It didn't change as quick as I wanted it to, and it didn't. And you find out about yourself as, you know, my faith don't stand very well. When I've done all to stand, I don't. I'm just telling you what happened to Ed sometimes. I'm sure you guys haven't ever faced anything like that. I had to learn to, when you've done all to stand, shut up.
Amen.
Let it alone. Let it alone. Now I want to show you something. We look here at Matthew because we're looking at this. We're going to look at some keys, and this is one of the things we look at keys because we're looking here at keys to the move of God, and we want to talk about keys, and we're going to talk about different areas that were talked about in Scripture about keys. And what the important, when we deal with keys, we're talking about authority. Naturally speaking, a key is this. It's something that you have to a lock. Now today, we don't lose a lot of things, and you know, whether you have cars and stuff, have fobs or whatever they are. But still, they are things that lock and unlock things. Whether it's electronic, whatever it is, whether it's a key, it locks and unlocks things. And so we need to understand that. If there are keys, then we need to know, if there are keys, who has the keys? Who has them? Who got the keys? What do keys lock and unlock? What are they locking and unlocking? See, these are areas that in the church world, a lot of people don't know. They don't know about these things. They don't even have the idea. They don't know what it's about. We get all kind of criticisms in the church, I know, over the years. I don't hear it as much anymore because I don't listen to people, you know, who, whether they like, you know, faith message or not, I don't pay any attention to it anymore. But I remember coming up, starting off, and you had people, you know, these people, these name it, claim it people, they called you that. And I'd say, well, yeah, that's what I am. That's what I do. It's in the Scripture. But we need to know, we have things that we walk in authority with, and we have to understand this. You can't walk in authority if you don't have the key. Can you? If you can't. See, the key, we're going to look at things that have to do with the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And our identification, this is one of the things of the church identifying itself with Jesus Christ. The church generally does not identify itself with Jesus, in Jesus Christ. We identify that Jesus is our Lord and Master and Savior. But we don't really identify a being His body. We think He's the head and we're some other organization and some other group that He works through. We're not. We are Jesus Christ in the earth. In fact, Paul told the church, told the church at Corinth that we're Christ. And he said that to a church that wasn't really real spiritual. But he told them, you're Christ. In other words, the head does not have something that the body does not have. The parts work together. You need to understand this. Jesus Christ, if He's head of the church, and people, I've heard ministers say this, and people say, God really doesn't need us. Well, I just want to let you know this. That is a lie from the mouth of the devil in the mouths of Christians. If we're His body and He's the head, how much does your body do without your head? Does your body just go off and... My head went to work this morning, and my body stayed in bed. You know? I had lunch today without my body. Well, see, you know what it does? It sounds crazy, but that's the crazy church.
Right.
Because we don't identify ourselves of who and what we are. And so you can't walk in authority not knowing. You can't walk in it. You can't walk in it. See, you know, yeah, Jesus can heal. Like I heard minister, you know, yeah, Jesus can heal, but you know, these guys run down here, you know, our minister here down in Lebanon, he heals, but you know, we you know, these healing ministers and that stuff. We lay hands on the sick, you know, Jesus don't.
Amen, that's right.
Jesus don't. We lay on them. He heals them through us. You don't lay no hands. Don't happen.
Nope.
Why? We're the body. Just like I don't get to eat if I don't use my hands to use the fork and knife and that stuff. You know, I could lick it off the plate, maybe. I don't know. Wanted to give me a trough, and I just, you know. I've done that a few times. I just. But anyhow, we need to see, and you got to get this thinking right. Quit praying and asking God to do something when you ain't doing nothing.
Amen. Say that again.
Amen. I'm serious.
Yep.
We're the body. This is why I said from the beginning, we have to know our part. The body is made of parts, and each part, it says, it's significant what each part does. It's needed. One part can't say, I don't need, you know? We need to understand this is the need. The body has parts and it has function. And all of its functions are supernatural. If the Bible is correct, which I believe it is,
amen,
that these manifestations of the gifts of Spirit, they're to divide into each one severally as He wills. It doesn't say each minister as severally as He wills.
That's right.
Well, there's an expectation that each part should have. Now, you might be sitting here and saying, well, I don't know. But see, those are the things, if we're going to find a direction, let's go to the direction to find out. What? We have to take the time to find out. You know, there's a lot of things I learn about ministry this way, going and doing things. You know what? Your car you might get in a car and you can let it sit there and park and turn the steering wheel, rev the engine, have the air conditioning on, but you still ain't going no place. And don't be surprised you sit in there 2 hours and you look out the window and it's still the same scenery. This is the church today. They're still in the same scenery they have been in 30 years ago.
Amen. Preach.
Why? They haven't moved.
Mm-hmm.
I found this. I found out, what would people say is trial and error? But see, lots of times God allowed me to learn to do things and do stuff and different things that I did that I learned about how the Spirit operated, and it really, I learned through a lot of things of finding out what God was really would really work in me, and other things that He would do, but not like in certain areas. I could tell I had a greater of anointing in certain areas than I did in other areas. I'd find that out about myself. And it's by doing, you know. See, this is what you have today, the average person. They choose what they would like to do. I'm just going to tell you this. Most of the time, I say most every time, God is going to do, want to use you in a way that you may not, you're probably not talented at.
Mm-hmm.
If you're talented at it, you don't need God.
Amen. Well, excuse me.
Number one, I don't do miracles, God does.
Amen.
But He will use me to do them. He has done it. But that's not Ed's norm.
Amen.
But that's the norm of God working through His people,
mm-hmm,
and finding out the things, you know, finding out things. But see, just yielding to stuff, learning to yield to things, and just, you know, don't be one of these people that sit around. I obviously people that say, well, you know, I don't feel called to that. Most people have told me the things they are and don't feel called to are really doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And they ain't ever going to do nothing because they're waiting to call. Well, number one, if you're not into ministry or anything like that, just start doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Start doing things.
Amen.
You know, I went out, started in doing street ministry. I didn't feel called to street ministry.
Right.
The opportunity there, and people were there, and you know, I could go out. I, you know, went out with these groups, and I got involved with Teen Challenge, taking guys out on the streets and doing that stuff. Somebody asked me, did God call you to do this? I don't know if He called me to do it, but when I went out to do it, I felt very clear in my spirit. Just go ahead.
Amen.
Go do this. And I just started doing that.
Amen.
You know? And you know, it's like, did your kids feel called to go to school? Did you make them? How come adults sit around, adult Christians sit around, and they got to tell them to do something? No, nobody needs to tell you to get off your rear end and do something.
Amen. Say that again.
I've been in all kind of ministry. I mean, you name it, from labor, working, to you. When I started off in church, God never told me to do things. When the Lord told Wanda and I to go to this one church, I mean, I'm glad He spoke to me specifically to go there. If He wouldn't have, I probably wouldn't have stayed. But we went there. You know what? all these wonderful Christians. Now, we're brand new people. We're brand new on the Christian kids on the block. We go to a church, and this church has all started. The people that got together and started, they've been Christian for years and years, and years and years of doing nothing. And so the things need done in the church, and you know what? I just go do them. You know what? I'd go up to the building. I'd go in the building early in the morning. Nobody ever told me to clean the bathrooms. I'd go and clean the bathrooms. And we'd have people and all these older Christians, men and women, would sure complain if the bathroom wasn't clean. But they ain't going to do it. Mm-hmm. You know? They're spiritual, you know? Mm. If you ain't working, you ain't spiritual.
Amen.
And I'd go in and I'd clean. You know what? I'd go in and straighten up and make sure everything was okay. Wow, so when the pastor came in, he ain't busy doing all that kind of stuff. I'd take care of things. And it'd snow. They never said, Ed, go clean and shovel the snow at the place.
Amen.
Nobody ever told me to. I'd go and go up and shovel the snow.
Amen.
Why? Because it needed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm called to the ministry.
Yep.
So to me, the ministry, the church is an important place.
That's right.
It's not to most Christians. It's not important. Just a place I go and sit down and somebody else comes and takes care of me and does all the stuff and does everything and has it nice for me so I can walk in the door, prop my butt down and... And I want to be in the ministry. No, you don't. The ministry is W-O-R-K.
Amen. Yep. Amen. Say that again.
Yep. Amen.
Don't need in the ministry. You ain't working. There's no need for it. There's no place for you in it. It's work.
Mm-hmm.
I still do that. You know, I go to Randy's meetings. I work.
Yes.
I go to Randy's meetings. I help set up sound equipment that's set for the service to go. I usher during the things and all that kind of stuff. Tear down and that kind of stuff. I'm in the ministry. I work. You see, he's ahead over me. And I don't want him to have to be doing all this stuff because he has to minister.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
See, most Christians in America are Americans number one on the block. Mm-hmm. They're Christians about fourth-fifth down the line. That's where it falls to.
Mm-hmm.
The church isn't that important of a place. It isn't. It's about ministry, folks.
Amen.
Everybody wants to get some kind of great anointing. I want miracles through me. What for?
Mm-hmm.
I've had more wonderful, great, some of the greatest revelations I've ever had is while I, and nobody else is around, I'm working in the ministry. I was out doing shoveling snow. God's talking to me.
Amen.
Doing things. Doing work. Mm-hmm. Cleaning the bathroom. Who would ever do such a thing? See, when you guys come to church on Sunday, how's that thing work? Is it all working there because it just happens? No, I'm in there. I'm in there hours before you guys get there.
Mm-hmm.
I make sure everything's set up and run. You ain't going where I'm going. You ain't hooked up where I'm hooked up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might say this stuff sounds hard. I've been living this thing long enough and watched it long enough with people. I can just tell you, I know.
Amen.
I know what God likes about things and things He don't like. I know why God reveals Himself to people and why He don't.
Amen. Say that again.
Amen. That's right.
Yep.
This is just the way it is.
Yep.
And if you ain't figured that out, you ain't been paying to it. Read that book about doing stuff. Read it. I never looked at it, never saw Ed was supposed to go sit down somewhere and wait for somebody else to take care of him.
Amen.
Never saw that. I didn't read that one there. I don't know, somehow I never got that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Everybody, yeah, the Lord's supposed to be first in your life. Biggest laugh ever said.
Amen. Say that again.
Yeah. I want Jesus number one. Well, that means you're going to have to take a lot of things off your list.
Yep. Yep. Amen.
Amen.
You see, it's number one. It's, I learned about this. But you know what? Now, I knew what God did say. You know, I knew we'd get over here on this. I knew God would get things going here. But I did. We need to understand. I'm just talking about how, you know, there's things that just naturally you just got to cooperate with and work with mm-hmm. if you want things to work.
Amen. Amen.
But actually working is just like, I learned from one of the things that God taught me was just like going when I went to work. Recess. God began to show me just from a natural standpoint, and really I started to understand it spiritually where I was working on a job. Well, when I'm working there, you just do the things that need to be done.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, well, this is this person and that's, you know, no place ever will work good if everybody walks around this thing, well, this is my job, this ain't my job, and this something. Because I'm going to tell you what, you Christians ain't going nowhere who have that kind of thinking. That's the way it works. What needs to be done, we're just going to do it. This is what it is.
Amen.
Because I want things to work. And see, it's the same way in the kingdom. You want things to work. I tell you what, this is very honest and true. Because when the Lord told me He wanted me to start the pastor in church, I told the Lord, I don't want to be in charge of nothing. I didn't want to be. I said, you just put me with whoever, I'll be the best worker that they'll have. I'm just as happy to do that. Amen. And I'm sure I would today. If God told me to do that, go to some ministry and do whatever they want. Amen, brother. I'll do it.
Amen. Whatever the Lord says.
I like that.
Amen.
I like working like that. Because I'll tell you what, God meets me in that stuff.
Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
I ain't taking a step down.
Amen.
See, most people, the average Christian in America, is climbing the ladder of success. There is no ladder of success. The way up with God is down. And it is. You need to know that. No, I want a position. Yeah, there's a toilet bowl in there with a brush. Go ahead. You got a position. You want a position. You know, people think that that's a step down. No, if you are not, if you're not faithful with the little things, you don't need any other revelation. Because you ain't going to live it anyhow.
Amen.
If that's something doing menial for other people to help them, is too high above you, don't expect to go far.
Amen. Say that again.
This is where you humble yourself. Doing these things for other people.
Yeah.
We don't have that. We've lost that. We've lost it in the church. The church is a place. It isn't about, I wanted a place so other people to get some. No, it's so I get something there. Hey, I will always get some.
Amen.
I will always have something from heaven. Heaven will always reveal itself to him.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I can dig ditches and God will talk.
Amen.
I was out this morning running and God's talking to me.
Amen.
See, it doesn't... This whole idea we have about spirituality and how you get it is really, well, if I just keep reading the Word and I just learn this and I just pray the right thing and blah, 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 you know, and I do rah-rah, sis-coom-ba and get out, you know, put on my little, you know, get my pom-poms and my little skirt and I start, you know, we'll just make this whole thing work. That isn't how it works.
Amen.
It's not how it works. You know, like when I, you know, it was at Rhema, that kind of stuff. Like, that, there's one thing people couldn't understand. I was doing teaching and stuff before I went to Rhema. I was teaching. I even got to minister in other churches and stuff. So I went to Rhema. People, what would you go to Bible school for? You're already ministering and stuff. See, don't step down. See, they thought that was a step down. And I really realized with these people, they don't know things about God. It's not a step down. This is a step up.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right.
See, I found in the natural that happens. Like when I was in the Army, you know, anytime they offered a school, I took it. Because, see, I was this guy, I figured this out. The more schooling you got, the more promotions you got, you made more money. And I decided I wanted some money. And, you know, I was in the Army 16 months and made it to Specialist 5. I was talking to a guy in the Air Force, been in almost 20 years, and he was still just a Specialist 4.
Wow.
He said, where did you get your rank? Well, I said, every time you offer school, I take it. So then they put me in another position. You know what? You get into these other positions, then there's these slots they need for where they have, like, they have to have so many people with a certain, you know, ranking grade within there. And they were always lacking. So I knew you got put into this next slot, they'd give you another stripe and so you made more money. I'm not an idiot. So you work. All these people say, I hate that sitting through schools. And I used to think, yeah, my check gets bigger. This is going to be awful. The check's going. And notice for the guys that always wanted more money. It's just like today. The people go to work, don't do squat, and always want more money.
Say it again.
That's why they need a union. You got to get yourself a union because somebody else got to get you paid because your working ain't going to get it for you. I'm really meddling a lot tonight, but it's good. But you know, I, you know, like people don't understand this is going up and what you do and how you do with going up. Mm-hmm. You know, as I've talked before, you know, the church I was in were shoveling snow. So the pastor says from the pulpit one Sunday, and like I never said anything to anybody about me doing stuff. I just did stuff. And he said, you know, he was calling out the leadership because the guys who were, they had a church and what they called a deacon board. I still don't know what they were supposed to do. I don't know what they did. But anyhow, the deacon board, he sort of called them out in the fact of, you know, I go out and shovel the snow and stuff like that, and, you know, you guys ain't doing anything. You guys don't do it. See, no, we're too high up on the ladder. See, we don't do that stuff. You know? We're not the shovel people. So the head of the deacon board came to me and says, the next time they shovel, it snows, and let us know when you're going to go up and shovel. I said, you don't know when it snows? I said, nobody tells me when it comes. I said, I know when it starts and when it stops. I can look out the window. And I said, I know when to go and do it. I said, I ain't calling you. Guy says, call me. But see, these are the, you know what? And these were the guys that I ended up having to teach. The pastor. See, I was doing all that stuff, never trying for promotion, never even look for it. Amen. And the Lord said to me one day, he said, the pastor is going to ask you to teach the adult Sunday school class. And I thought, oh, yeah, he's going to ask me to teach the adult. I'm a guy cleaning the toilets and coming in the morning and doing all this stuff. He's going to ask me? And he did. He came and asked me to do it. And you know what? See, you'd think it's fun teaching. No, God made me stand in front of all those do-nothings and teach. And have them drag their feet. And that's all they did was drag their feet. If they would have listened, they could have turned around and got somewhere. But they wouldn't.
Amen.
If they'd have listened to what I told them, was telling them, mm-hmm. they would arrive. They couldn't arrive. God put a baby in front of them to tell them how to get there. Because they weren't even good babies. See, they knew, we're saved. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost for 20 years. Yeah, ask him about that. That full of the Holy Ghost. They were full of lots of stuff, but it wasn't the Holy Ghost. And so you got to get yourself. And what I'm telling you to do is, see, this thing of doing, do put yourself to something. You know, I went to Rhema. You know, it was like, one of the things that I did is like, I thought, well, I got to be able to get involved in something. Now look, I started my first year, I'm working 45 hours a week and then going to school. You know, this leaves a lot of time for study and a lot of time. I mean, I'm full schedule. And I said to the Lord, I'd like to be able to go to church because I'm working, you know, come take care of the family. I want to be able to go to church. And I could go on a Sunday morning, but then sometimes I had to go to work and Sunday afternoon. I had to go to work and stuff like that. I would do sometimes. But anyhow, like right after service. And I said, Lord, I'd like to really be able to go to a midweek service. And this is what he told me to do. He said, I want you to volunteer for something in the church. And I thought, all I need is something more to do. But I realized this is God's time. I'm saying I want something. God ain't giving you free lunch. This is what you need to understand, why you only get so far in things. Mm-hmm. You're too American. Free lunches, amen. That ain't God. So he told me to do something. So I volunteered to do the parking program and that stuff. So which means before a service, hearing service. You're out, you go out there and you help, you know. In the summertime, you're out there. And you know, they have a thing. I mean, you gotta wear a shirt and tie, you're out there. You don't. You know, see, oh, you're out there and it's warm and it's hot. See, everybody else comes in their air-conditioned cars and they want to park and they want to get into the church, that place they never help at. And they want to get in there and get in their seat in that place. So you're out there, you're working, you know, and we're parking cars. It's a large place, a big campus. When I first started the first year, they had a lot of different parts of the ministry. People were in different buildings and because it was laid out for a school. They didn't have a building at that time was big enough to house everything. They built one. But it didn't because the church had just started. It was new. The church there, the school had been there for years, but they hadn't started a church there, which they did. But, you know, you just work. And, you know, you go out there and you park. And then, you know, you come in. Church starts and you're still out there making sure everybody gets parked. And then sometimes you're out there, you don't even get to go to the, you don't get to go to the service because some people have to stay out of security and go around because you have all these cars out there and, you know, the devil will send people to come and steal to break in cars and stuff. And you got all these cars out there and all these people in this parking lot. I mean, you go to any big events, they have problems. People want to break in cars and stuff. And so you have that. And, you know, sometimes that's what you do. You're out there on the security thing. And you're doing that. That's what you're doing. Service, yeah. And all these other people, I've had people say, well, you know, I can't be doing that because I need to be in the service. Well, found this out. There was Reverend Tony Cook. He was one of the associate pastors, also one of the teachers there. And for, I don't know, it was a year or two, he became the dean of the school. But Tony said they did a survey on people who get in the ministry and stay in the ministry. And they said people in the parking have a higher percentage of people that get into the ministry and stay in the ministry. Wonder how that happened. You know how that happens? They didn't put themselves first.
That's right.
I gotta be in the ministry. I gotta be in there to hear. Well, they turn around. They give us recordings of all the sermons and stuff of things that went on. But see, we'd have to work a little bit more. And you know what? I found when I worked at HB Ranch Academy, I found out the more hours I worked, the more money I made. Mm-hmm. You think God don't pay overtime? Mm. You want some people get greater anointings? God pays overtime.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
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 Yep.
This is good stuff to understand, folks.
Amen.
Yes.
You're getting to hear some things people don't normally hear. What normal people don't even want to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
They want to hear this stuff. Mm-hmm. You know? Like people say, you know, when I was there, I turned around, we had, and it ended up, I was on the Wednesday night then, and Wednesday night things is what I did in, was doing that. I also got over then on doing Wednesday evenings. I did that for a while. I was off and on. But then I got on with Wanda and got in the children's ministry. And we had the little kids. What ours were, what were they?
18 to 24 months.
Oh. Wow.
And you know, I found out though, a thing that God would use me as a specialty there. There's some kids who come in or just have a hard time. They can't leave their parents. And God would really use me to take kids that were really having a hard time, and I'd take them to cells, and they had these little cubicle things, and go sit in down with that kid and sit on the floor with them. And I learned to get those kids. God used me in that, getting those kids calmed down where they could turn around and hook up with the other kids and do that. And those kids would end up, when they got their parents, they'd get used to that, they'd want to get out of their parents' arm and into the place. They want to get away from mom and dad, because you're not having a good time in here at this place. Mm-hmm. But God would use me. That kids were have problems, and I would just have trouble with that. And so the other teachers and that stuff could focus on the other kids. I'd take that kid, you know, the one who was having problems, and I'd take him and do that. And I found out God used me in that with his kids. Mm-hmm. And I really liked, I mean, you get really like those kids, but you ask Wanda about the move of God we had with those kids. I'm talking about a move of God more than sometimes you'd get with adults. We had this one little kid, he would get preaching. 24-month kid would preach. He would start. You couldn't understand half of what he's saying, but you could always understand when he said Jesus. And he would get going, and kids would get dancing.
Praise God.
Said, man, you can't get the adults to do that. See, God can move. And see, I got to be around it. See, that's it, man. God will move among kids, man. Mm-hmm. This ain't, don't make him nervous. Mm-hmm. And these other people say, I got to be in that other service. I really need to be there where they ain't doing anything. Where all I do is eat and get fat, and I don't do nothing. That's where the real spirituality is. Man, being those kids, it was amazing the things that God did among those kids.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have worship times with those kids and singing, and it was amazing how God moved in those kids.
Mm-hmm.
See, people need to understand, you know, we got to be around some moves of God.
Amen.
Working. See, all these people, oh, I couldn't take care of those kids. Just think how the ministers feel taking care of you 24-month-old. Shit, haven't even risen to the level of a 24-month-old spiritually, and they're having to put up. And people see, but people's arrogance. They're not humble. See, when I saw those kids and what they did, I thought, my God. You know, those kids are flowing with the Spirit of God. And I thought, us adults dragging our feet, acting like we're spiritual, playing these games. Well, you know, I was teaching then in a church where I was teaching the adult Sunday school class, but I also would do the children's ministry on Sunday mornings. I'd go into children's. Tell you what, you get kids to listen to stuff. You know what? The adults are harder to teach.
Mm-hmm.
Adults are harder to teach.
Mm-hmm.
See, everybody wants to be in adult ministry. God put me in a kids ministry. They'll listen.
Mm-hmm.
If you got something good, they'll hear it. They want to hear it.
Amen.
Adults, I already know. See, I'm really smart. I'm just, you know, I'm trusting the Lord. I just wish something would work. I just.
Amen.
But I've seen so much of it and how God works and what He does things among these ones. And it's like people are always, you know, like there's something special. I found out, you know, went over in, still teaching as adults, and then I got over and we ended up over with the youth ministry. And then again, I mean, that was really, man, God showed us a lot there, you know, with those young people. They responded to God. And I will just tell you what, those youth could respond to the Holy Spirit much better than the adults could in a church. Much better than adults could. It wasn't because we were so spiritual. We just gave them the Word of God and they believed it. And they'd act on it. When you'd show them it worked, well, you know, the Lord says, you and my unbelievers, tell them what God does for you and what you're doing. And we'd tell them. And you know what? They'd want things to happen to them. And so they just go, we tell them what we did and they go do it. They say, well, I don't feel called to that. I don't feel called to that. See, what do you feel called to do? Oh, just sit here and listen. That's what I feel called to. I'm called to park my butt. That's what I do. I'm so spiritual. My honey sticks to this chair. It's a Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost pressing me down. It's a weighty service. You know, I mean, there's another thing. Is people, you know, I like the fact, you know, Alan lets you know if he likes some, if it excites him at something. Mm-hmm. You know what? Our people are too dead.
Yeah.
Way too dead.
Amen.
Ain't excited about God.
Yeah.
Too dead. Too dead.
Yeah. Amen.
They like good teaching, but they don't get. I'm going to tell you, if it's good, you get a shout. If you really did get something. How do you sit still?
Amen.
You know? I can't help it. Gets in my feet and everything. It's just, you want to go do something.
Amen.
See, I get loud and noisy. My God, you know, I can't see being quiet about it.
Because
it's good.
He's been so good.
You know, you go with people and they sit down to dinner again. Something's good to eat. Oh, they'll tell everybody about it around the table. They get to church and they'll tell you, we really like the Word. There is silent. It's just like they sewed their lips shut. They can't, you know.
Come on.
Comes something natural, and boy, they're just full of mouth, telling everybody about it. I know. Hey, this. It is. We. You know what? I was here. I'm reading see, after Smith Wigglesworth stuff. I really. I like Smith. Well, he's very direct about things. Well, one of the things he talked about was the fact. About a shouting church. You got to have a shout.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
See, people aren't excited anymore about God. They're not excited. They like to be able to hear some. But don't tell me that you cannot be excited about something without having an expression.
Mm-hmm. Right. Amen.
Because this is what I watch. If people just say, well, I'm not like that. Well, how come when the other natural thing happened, you were like that blabbing to everybody?
Amen. Say it again.
Yeah. But I'm not like, you're not like that with God. You're ashamed to do it. Somebody might think you're weird. I'm trying to. I know I'm weird. I know I'm weird.
Bring the fire.
That's why I say what I do. I already know I'm weird. It doesn't, you can say what you want. It don't matter.
Yes.
Ed's going to let me in front of you. I'll say the same thing again. But it is. And all it is, I'm going to tell you what causes it, is you're ashamed
Amen.
Somebody might think you're weird. I want them to know I'm not like everybody else. I want them to know I'm alive. I am alive.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what, it does wonders from your faith when you break loose from that. And I'm going to tell you what it is. It's a demonic bondage.
Uh-huh.
It's a fear.
Mm.
Somebody's going to think something's wrong, something's the matter with me. There is something the matter with me.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
I'm not like everybody else. Yeah. God didn't make me to be the norm. I was never called to the norm. And so get that in yourselves. And the fact is, I'm not excited. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, if you went out here and just, you know, would you take somebody to street ministry and didn't talk, didn't say, well, you know, you need Jesus. You know that? And the person goes, oh my God, they need a doctor is what they need. You know, it's like, no. If you don't have an excitement about what you're... If you weren't excited, you know, I was in sales for years. And you know what in sales? You know, number one, you know your product.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Number one, the average Christian, the Spirit-filled Christian, don't know their product.
Amen.
They have no idea. They're not excited about it. They can't tell you all the good things about the product.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in sales, success was knowing everything about your product. Mm-hmm. Having the answers.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
You have to know about your product you're selling, what you have, and you're excited about it.
That's right.
It's number one, because see, everybody wants reward. Well, you ain't getting reward, you don't sell.
Amen. Amen.
There's not reward in doing nothing. There's no reward in not doing anything.
That's right.
There's no paychecks in not doing anything.
Amen. Say that.
Everybody wants reward. I just want to confess rewards in. I don't want to do nothing for it. And then complained about the guy that don't go to work. Say, yeah, he just sits home and gets welfare. Well, you're on spiritual welfare.
Ooh.
That's right. You're just getting something once in a while because somebody else is following God. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. I guess I better quit here soon. I'm telling you how it works. God's excited.
Amen.
And there's something wrong if I'm not excited. There's something wrong that I'm not.
Amen.
Most people that have come into the kingdom, they were on fire. They were ready to go after something. And now as they get older in the Lord, they become dead, laid back. They are grandma and grandpa and they're sitting out on their rocker. And they think there's an entitlement to that for God and God will bless me because, well, you know, I was excited back then. No, I'm going to tell you what, when I go home, it's going to be exciting.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
The excitement don't end. And we got to get this thing that we're excited about God. I said, I will tell you this. God will do things through you if you do that.
Amen.
I will guarantee you, God will do things through you. It's just like the car, like the old days, you didn't have power steering. I'm going to tell you what, it was hard turning until you got the car moving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And spiritually, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you, you want, boy, things seem to be hard. Well, you ain't moving. Mm-hmm. Because if you get moving, turning gets easy.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And let me say, you might say, well, what if I head in the wrong direction? If you're not moving, you aren't going in any direction. What does it matter?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It doesn't matter. I found this. Sometimes heading the wrong direction. And you know, it wasn't until I stepped in that direction, I got to check in. Well, hey, you need to do this instead. God ain't going to tell you when you ain't doing nothing.
Amen.
It doesn't work that way. I would think people naturally figure that out, you know. I mean, in the natural, we live that way, don't we?
Amen.
You don't go to work, you don't get a paycheck. Amen. Why would somebody think, oh, God operates heaven different? You know, he's going to teach me everything first so I can know everything. I don't have to be led by the Spirit because I'll know everything and everything to do. And all that. No, you're going to learn while you work.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You're in an apprenticeship. Mm-hmm. I was in an apprenticeship for numbers of years. I was over 10 years in apprenticeship till God put me in the ministry.
Amen.
And you know what the apprentice does? Everything that needs to be done. Mm-hmm. That's what he does.
Amen.
The guys in charge say, hey, you go get this or you do that. And that's what you do. And you learn. And you learn to be faithful in little. Because you don't deserve much of anything if you ain't doing anything.
Amen. Amen. Come on.
You don't deserve much. We're trying to pray a lot on people that don't deserve a thing. And we wonder why we pray and pray and nothing and people don't change. They ain't. What they need is somebody that goes to work in front of them. Somebody who's doing the work of the ministry. Somebody who's out there.
Amen.
And then understands and they come and say, why has this happened to me? It's like I told a guy when I worked at H.B. Reese Candy Company. He come to me and he was all upset. Because, you know, he saw God was blessing my life. And he came to me and he said, I don't understand why, you know, God don't do stuff for me and this and that and the other thing. And I said to him, I said, do you get a paycheck from General Motors? Well, he said, well, no. He said, you know I don't work for General Motors. I said, you don't work for God either and you ain't getting nothing.
Woo! Speak that truth.
That's the way it works.
Speak that truth.
Ooh.
Amen.
It's just, I was working at Reese's. They paid me. General Motors never sent me a check. I never worked for them. Mm-hmm. Why would I expect one?
Amen.
Why would we expect God doing all kind of great things for us when we're just not doing even common labor for Him or whatever it needs? Even doing stuff for other people, doing something, you know. It's all about what I got to. See, our time's about all about us.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about us. See, we got to get out of that mode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I grew up back in the 50s and the people I was around, their lives weren't tied up in themselves and all kinds of stuff.
Right.
And see, there is just more and more of the American culture is in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to break out of this demonic thing because this culture is about the devil.
Amen.
And his things. And understand, Amen. The church has a different culture in this life that we're in. See, how's important the ministry? You know, people know whether you're excited about God, whether you're excited
right.
about church, or whether you are. I mean, you can miss church and don't mind. Don't worry, God don't mind missing you.
Mm.
And I'm just telling you, He don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's like with me, it's like, hey, you know, these things are important.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to do it.
Amen.
See, it's important to me that, you know, things are done when people come in for service. See, you don't want to come in and then things have to be done and all this thing and, you know, you don't need all that confusion. See,
Amen.
People just think all this stuff just happens and for me to come in the door. They think I just paid a ticket for the theater to come in and sit down and now I'm going to be entertained. I'm just going to... That's what church is to most Christians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, how does this get stuff done? They don't even think 10 minutes. What does it take to do what's being done? Is there things involved? Do you know, I never needed to anybody... You know, when I was... I never was in a church that they had to come and tell me the things that needed to be done. I watch people in our church. Some paper falling on the floor gets over the floor. People walk past it. Won't even stop and pick a piece of paper off.
Mm-hmm.
People are amazing. I look at them and think, dear God. Now, you think that there's nothing? That's something in the eyes of God. Little things are mm-hmm. what make things work. It's the little things.
Amen.
See, that's not important. I'm sorry, I'm not the person that picks up the paper. God will remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil will see it, and he will visit you on that.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's like, why? Other people. What if somebody slipped on a piece of paper and fell on the floor? I don't care. It wasn't my job. It ain't my job. Doing this needs fixed. I see people walk past things that something needs, you know, wrong, and they won't. They'll just walk past it. I mean, people come to me and tell me that something ought to be done. You saw it.
Mm-hmm.
I worked in churches. They never had to come and ask me about it, something. If I saw something needed done or something, I went and did it. That's how I grew up. That's how I got to walk in the anointing.
Amen.
That's how I got to know God. I got to know God because I did all the little things.
Amen.
And when the Lord spoke to me in May of 1989, and He said this to me, because you've been faithful with other people's ministries, I'm going to put you in your own.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Paul said this, God found me faithful and put me into their ministry.
Amen.
Paul didn't go into the ministry right away. God found him faithful. You know what he found faithful? All the little insignificant things that you think are insignificant, that God is a watcher.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, it's just to me, the end people might consider, but I still do it. You know, it doesn't matter, you know. Helping Wanda with things and doing stuff and might seem insignificant, but it ain't above Ed to work. It ain't above Ed to do something to help. Well, I'm busy. Yes, I'm busy, but you know, we could help.
Amen.
I found out God can get a hold, give me a message. I don't, you know, doing the right things, you know, just sitting and studying and doing stuff ain't going to work if you ain't doing nothing.
Yep. Come on.
We need to get this in ourselves. It's really important things. Is doing it. It's number one, you never get above working. Mm-hmm. When I found, I've seen many, and I've watched major ministers and what happens to them, they become above things after a while in their ministry. And after a while, doctrine starts to wane, things start happening. Because why? They're not working. They don't recognize. It's like people in Washington. They never recognize. If they get down there so long, they don't recognize what everybody else is putting up with out here. And you ain't going to know either. I know what it is to go through the heart. I know what it has to have to believe when things ain't going good at all.
Amen.
I know when death comes knocking on the door.
Mm-hmm.
I know when those things happen. I know what it is. I know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I didn't learn all that stuff sitting around doing nothing. And you need to learn that these things out here, as you're out here doing things, this is all important stuff that you do.
Amen.
And how you want revelation from God, I tell you, get yourself outward. You know, I'm going to labor for God. God, you know, I'm going to be a person, you know, I may not know exactly what I'm supposed to do now, but I'm going to start doing something. I'm going to start
Amen.
Setting myself.
Amen.
I'm going to start doing it. I'm going to set myself to labor. You know, I'll help somebody else do something. I'm going to do something, mm-hmm. but I'm going to get my focus off of me.
Amen.
God didn't send me to school for me.
Mm-hmm. Amen, that's right.
He didn't send me to school for me. See, some people thought he did that. He sent him for them. Didn't realize, you know, God taught sent me to school to learn things. The discipline, one of the things, the major thing he said he sent me to school for was to, he said, I wanted you to learn the fact that you can take your family anywhere and go do anything and I'll take care of it. Because he put us in the places. Number one, what you have never experienced, you can't sit around and talk about like you could have some
That's
great
right.
faith to do it. Because mm-hmm. you don't know if you can.
That's right.
See, if you've never done what I've done, you don't know if you can do that. You know, if you tell me you can, well then prove it to me.
Yes.
See, I learned what it is to leave a job and not have one. Go move across the country.
Amen.
I learned those things. And see, there's things God put me through and put Wanda and I through concerning ministry. Is ministering to people.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, he didn't consider we should be ministering to people if we hadn't done nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't need to be teaching people faith when we really didn't walk in it much.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
See, we had experience in it.
Hallelujah.
Being faithful, first I was faithful in other people's ministries. Faithful to do what he showed us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just faithful in those things. You don't know how to be, you don't need to be up front till you learn how to be in the back, out of sight,
Amen.
And doing the work of being happy.
Amen.
I never did work from the standpoint thinking about promotion.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I learned this. I enjoyed mm-hmm. whatever I was doing.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Nobody told me to clean the toilets. But I was just as happy to do it. I didn't think about, boy, somebody ought to do something about this. I'll tell you what, I don't know why I got to do this. Nobody told me to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just had need to be done, and so I'd go in and do it.
Mm-hmm.
Clean the bathroom.
Amen.
Part of what it is. But you got to be content in what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know? See, you're in a position, you think, well, you know, I'm teaching, ministering word, and God says, go to school. Now, you could turn around and get right into the thing. It's like, you know, why is he doing this to me? He should be doing something. I should be going to something greater. Well, I was.
Amen.
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 But see what? If I wouldn't have been spiritual at all, I wouldn't have known that. I wouldn't have known that. But I want to tell you, you're not climbing the ladder of success. You know, you may do the will of God tomorrow and he doesn't promote you to something else. You could be staying the rest of your life doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to learn to be able just as content. Whether you think it's a lot, if he likes it, it's his perfect will. And you can have any blessing on your life that you would want or need doing that.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
But if you get on that ladder, you forget about that thing. You won't have all the blessings and the wants you need.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't do what I do to get promoted.
Amen.
Amen.
I do it because, you know what? To do the will of God's the most blessing there is. Big, small, don't matter.
Amen.
Glory to God. Father, I just want to thank you tonight. Father God, you sure have a lot to say about things. Hallelujah. But Father, I want to thank you because, oh, you've been just dealing with me and dealing with me because the body of Christ, we got to change the way we think. Oh, Lord God, and I want to thank you that you're shaking me up.
Amen.
You're shaking me up. Hallelujah. Lord God, you're bringing back to remembrance, Lord God, of many things. And Lord God, I just want to thank you, Lord God, Lord, there's things that we need to step back into again. There's places that we need to walk. We walked in the past. And we laid those things down, Lord God. And we went on, and there's nothing wrong with the things that we're doing, but we should have never laid certain things down. They're part of what we need in this time and this place.
Amen.
And Lord God, if anything, I realize, really, Lord, in the areas of humility, Lord God, there needs to be a greater deepness in that area in us of humility. Hallelujah. Humility toward our Lord, no matter what He wants or what He desires or needs, that we're just willing to do it. We're just willing to walk in it. We're just willing to bless, and we're going to just be cheerful, no matter what it is.
Amen.
We're going to be excited, Lord God. Hallelujah. If we're just shining shoes, I don't care what it is.
Amen.
What we're doing, Lord God, we're just going to love Jesus doing it. We'll just tell people how Jesus is so wonderful when we're doing it. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, Lord, it's going to mean as much to us if we were a king of a country. Lord God, hallelujah. And we just want to thank you because, Lord, no matter what we put our hand to, you will bless us.
Amen.
We follow your will and your plan and purpose, Lord God. There's no need, want, or desire that you will not fulfill for us.
Amen.
And I want to thank you for it, Lord God. Hallelujah. You have a plan to put us all over the top. Hallelujah. No matter what position we're in. And I just want to say thank you. Father, you're a wonderful Father, and we just want to thank you for loving us so much for sending your Son, Jesus. And Jesus, you're such a wonderful Lord. And I want to thank you, Jesus, because you have been so patient with us, so caring and loving toward us. And I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, because, Lord, you've been much kinder than we have been. You've been much more loving than we have been. But Lord God, you continue to teach us and to cause us to grow. And I want to say thank you for it. Thank you that you're raising us up out of the dust. Hallelujah. Lord God, you're sitting us in the place, hallelujah, where your anointing can flow. Lord God, where the grace and glory of God is revealed that will turn around and turn this nation and other nations upside down. Hallelujah. Not because of the greatness of man, because man has just yielded to the glory of God. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.